यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय जगतनाथ बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा। जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय। जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय प्रभुपदा। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रुत सत्य श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नर चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जये मुदीर्ये नष्टे प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text Number 8. Na shishyan anu badanita granthan ne vyabhaya shed bahun ना व्याख्याम उपयाजिता नारंभान अराभेत क्वचित ना शिष्यान अनुबदनिता ग्रंथान नेवया भयशेद बहुन ग्रंथान नेवया भयशेद बहुन ना व्याख्याम उपयाजिता नरंभान अरभेद क्वचित ना शिष्यान अनुबंधिता ग्रंथान नेव्यभयशेद बहुन ना व्याख्याम उपयुंजिता नरंभान नरभेद क्वचित। ना शिष्यान अनुबद्धिता ग्रंथान नेव्यभयशेद बहुन ना व्याख्याम उपयुञ्जिता नरं भानरभेत् क्वचित् नाशिष्याननुबध्निता ग्रन्थान्ये व्यभिषेद् बहून् ना व्याख्याम उपयुञ्जिता नरं भानरभेत् क्वचित् नाशिष्याननुबध्निता ग्रन्थान् व्यभिषेद् बहून् ना व्याख्याम उपयुञ्जिता नरं भानरभेत् क्वचित् नाशिष्याननुबध्निता ग्रन्थान् व्यभिषेद् बहून् ना व्याख्याम उपयुञ्जिता नरंभानरभेत् क्वचित् नाशिष्याननुबध्निता ग्रन्थान्यव्यभिषेद् बहून् ना व्याख्याम अपयुञ्जिता नरं भान अरभेत् क्वचित् ना नॉट शिष्यन डिसाइपल्स अनुबध्निता वन शुड इंड्यूस फॉर मेटीरियल बेनिफिट ग्रंथान अननेसेसरी लिटरेचर्स ना नॉट एवा सर्टेनली अभ्यसित should try to understand or cultivate bahun many na nor vyakhyam discourses upayunjita should make a means of livelihood na nor arambhan unnecessary opulences Arabhat should attempt to increase Kvachit at any time. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. A sannyasi must not present allurements of material benefits to gather many disciples, nor should he unnecessarily read many books or give discourses as a means of livelihood. He must never attempt to increase material opulences unnecessarily. Purport. So-called Swamis and Yogis generally make disciples by alluring them with material benefits. There are many so-called Gurus who attract disciples by promising to cure their diseases or increase their material opulence by manufacturing gold. These are lucrative allurements for unintelligent men. A sannyasi is prohibited from making disciples through such material allurements. Sannyasis sometimes indulge in material opulence by unnecessarily constructing many temples and monasteries, but actually such endeavors should be avoided. Temples and monasteries should be constructed for the preaching of spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, not to provide free hotels for persons who are useful for neither material nor spiritual purposes. Temples and monasteries should be strictly off limits to worthless clubs of crazy men. In the Krishna consciousness movement, we welcome everyone who agrees at least to follow the movement's regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling. In the temples and monasteries, gatherings of unnecessary, rejected, lazy fellows should be strictly disallowed. The temples and monasteries should be used exclusively by devotees who are serious about spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the word Arambhan as meaning Mathadidi Vyaparan, which means attempts to construct temples and monasteries. The first business of the sannyasi is to preach Krishna consciousness. But if, by the grace of Krishna, facilities are available, then he may construct temples and monasteries to give shelter to the serious students of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, such temples and monasteries are not needed. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tirubhasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, or rather in this chapter, Narada Muni is talking to Maharaj Yudhishthira and is explaining to him about the characteristics and qualities of a sannyasi. Before that, we discussed about the characteristics of people who are in brahmacharya ashram, grihasthas, and vanprasthas. So, in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada is talking about four important things which a sannyasi is not expected to do or engage in. So, one is the first is to present material allurements for getting disciples. Second is read many books or unnecessary books. Third one is giving discourses for living. And fourth one is increase unnecessary material opulence. So we find that in today's situation, there are so many gurus. And in some places, it is a kind of fashion to have a guru. And then, you know, people speak, I have a guru, I have to see my Guruji, and so on. But when we want to know what these gurus are instructing them, or what these gurus are teaching them, then comes a big question mark. Because number of times, people are going to such gurus for their personal agenda. They have some material agenda. And the guru is also such that he is there only to fulfill or only to talk and discuss about the material advancements of the disciples. Their spirituality is not involved in the discussion at all. So we have several examples of this, and I would like to share with you one or two which are quite interesting. So It has been many years ago. I picked up a Indian newspaper from Patel Brothers. I was doing grocery, and then they give out this newspaper free. So I said, okay, let me take it and see, you know, what's going on. And there was a news item in that a Babaji had come from UK. And before he came here, he had been advertising on the TV and also in the newspapers that he will be here, and people having any kind of problem can contact him. If you do not get along with your spouse, if your children are not listening to you, if your boss, you don't get well along with your boss. So all kind of such problems he was going to solve. And of course, if you have some financial difficulties, he will be there as well to find a solution for you. So he was one and all. So the news item was that he duped so many people and ran away with their money. And he couldn't be traced. And interestingly, what surprised me the most was that the people who got duped were all well-to-do people. It was not that they were some poor people who wanted to, you know, make some money or get Babaji's blessings to make some money. These are the people who already had a lot of wealth. And they were so greedy that they wanted to multiply it. And they got into somehow, you know, the false promises which this guru made, and they eventually had to lose a good amount of money, you know, and this Babaji ran away. Then there is another example. This was an Indian Swamiji or Guru, and he had an ashram near Mumbai in Pune. And most of his disciples were people from film, you know, Bollywood, film stars of India. And he was very popular because everybody, and you know, he will be, even he himself will be dressing in saffron clothes, I think. But not only he, but all the disciples, whatever ashram they would be in, they will be also dressing in saffrons and, you know, following him. And they were always very happy. And as it turned out, people got to know that in his ashram in Pune, what he was practicing was sex therapy. And that is the reason why he was so popular. So eventually, I heard that he died of some STD, sexually transmitted disease. So these are the kind of gurus which exist today. So Srila Prabhupada says that they are cheaters, and then they are people who are ready to be cheated. So we have to be extremely careful in today's situation that we take instructions from a bona fide spiritual master or a bona fide sannyasi, because he alone can give the message of Krishna to us. You know, Prabhupada says here that the main task of the first business of the sannyasi is to preach Krishna consciousness. So that is what a sannyasi is supposed to do. When I was preparing for this discussion, I read something which really impressed me, and I would like to share that with you. That a sannyasi's presence should, you know, in the presence of a sannyasi, we should feel Krishna's presence. If sannyasi has to be so, you know, powerful, that in his presence we can actually feel presence of Krishna. So this was really very, very interesting thing which I found. Then, but in modern world, what does a Swami, Goswami, or a yogi means for us, or people in general? So traditionally, we know, our scriptures explain what a Swami or a Goswami is, the person who has control over his senses. And a yogi is a person with mystic powers, and he tries to attain nirvana by virtue of his mystic powers. But in modern scenario, these Swamis and Goswamis are there only to help their disciples gain material opulence. There is a tendency in India. A lot of people want to come to Western world for better opportunities. Some people want to come here for studies. Some people want to come here for jobs. And generally, the feeling is that once you are in these countries, then you have abundance of money and opulences, and you don't have to really work so hard. And it is not always very easy to get a visa for US. It's quite difficult because US embassy will scrutinize the papers very carefully, and only if they are very satisfied, they will issue a visa to an applicant. So there is a visa Babaji. So, you know, he sits under a tree, and there's a placard put on the tree called Visa Babaji. So, and he has a big queue of disciples, big queue of people, you know, there to take his blessings. So people will go to him and, you know, shell out their money And Baba Ji gives them blessings that, okay, you go and apply on such and such day and you will get a visa. So we have a visa, Baba Ji. Same way we have a passport, Baba Ji. Because even to get a passport in India is a big process. And now I think it has been simplified, but earlier it was quite complicated. So there is a passport, Baba Ji. Because before you apply for a visa, you have to have a passport. So it was like, you know, working very nicely in tandem. First you go to passport, Baba Ji. You pay your fee there, get a passport, then you go to visa, Babaji, and get a visa. So this is the mentality with which people are actually going to sannyasis. So there's a story when Prabhupada was once traveling in a train with some of his disciples who were brahmacharis with saffron clothes, shaven head, and so on. And when the train was, still at the station, some young person came to him and says, Swamiji, I need your blessings. So Prabhupada said, what blessings can I give you? Oh, Swamiji, I have pain in my knee, so I need your blessings to cure that pain. So Prabhupada said that if you want my blessings, then you will become one like them. So he pointed out at the disciples who are traveling with him. And he says that he immediately ran away because he never wanted to be a brahmachari or such. He wanted a treatment from Srila Prabhupada at no cost. So Prabhupada said that he wanted to save doctor's fee. That's why he comes to a sannyasi. So this is what people are thinking, and people feel that by going to a sannyasi or a yogi or a swami, and this is what we are going to get. So we can talk about these points one by one. The present material allurements, so as we discussed, this is everybody or most of us are running after money or material benefits. So if somebody is promising us that they will help us with in gaining all these material benefits, people will obviously go to them, because even in a temple such as ours or other temples, a number of visitors are here to pay their respects and obeisances to Sri Sri Kishore Kishori. But when they are here in this temple, they have a list of wishes. And I have shared this with you earlier also, that if you come here on, say, January 1st, which is the beginning of the year, you will see lot of such people whom you see only once a year on January 1st, because they are here to, come to Sri Kishore Kishori. They want to have an agreement with Kishore Kishori that on first day of the year, I am paying something, I am donating something in the hundi. And rest of the year, you donate something in my bank account. So this is the program with which they come here. So Prabhupada says one has to be careful of such sannyasis who engage in such program. Then secondly is read many books. So this is interesting because normally, reading and hearing and listening to bona fide sannyasis and acharyas is recommended in our society. But Prabhupada says that one doesn't have to read too much. One has to read only the bona fide literature, and that also for the benefit to share it with your disciples and share it with the rest of the public. Not like you want to become a PhD or a big, Granthi. Granthi means the one who has read. You cannot really boast about. You can boast about reading so many books and so many, granthas. Granthas means holy books. So if you want to boast as such, then that is not really recommended. So Srila Prabhupada says that reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is quite good for us. So if we can do that, and then of course at our level we are also advised to read Srila Prabhupada books, and I feel that is important for us, because on our own it is not easy for us to understand the messages which are available in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada presents them in a very easy to understand and practical way, so that people who do not have previous experience also can benefit by reading his books. So Prabhupada spent a lot of time writing those books for general benefit of the humanity. But a sannyasi has to be careful while he engages himself in reading different type of scriptures. Then the third one is giving discourses for living. So in India, even in Vrindavan, when you go, you will see big hoardings over there with a nice picture of a person who has who is very opulently dressed with tilak and garlands, and the hoarding says Bhagavat Saptaha or Bhagavat Week. So for a week, come to hear so-and-so Goswami. And so Prabhupada says that Bhagavatam should be heard every day, not only for a week. Nityam Bhagavat Sevya. Nityam means daily. So we have to read Bhagavatam every day, we have to hear Bhagavatam every day, and not necessarily for a week. But what is the motivation for these people to do or conduct this Bhagavat Sapta, Bhagavat Weeks? Because we, you know, they will speak very opulent, they, very eloquently, and there will be a lot of people coming there. They will be, I was hearing that they offer different kind of inducements for public to come and attend these programs. And when they are there, they would, of course, be kind of encouraged to give big donations to the speaker. So Prabhupada says that though a sannyasi has to preach Krishna consciousness, he has to give out the message of Krishna, but not for his living. He shouldn't make it a business, in other words. So which we find happens very commonly, that such preachers, they are there, and they are speaking some message, but in return they expect donations from all the people who are participating in the program. Then the fourth one, the point was increase unnecessary material opulence. So Prabhupada is talking here about even building temples and monasteries. So a number of times sannyasis and even business people, they engage in constructing temples. So Prabhupada cautions us against that we have to be careful, or sannyasis should be careful with this, because number of times people are doing engaging themselves in such activities for their personal fame and name. They want that, oh, such and such person has built so many temples, or such and such person is built a hospital, or such and such person built monasteries. So the aim is not there that people will come and hear about Krishna, make advancement in their spiritual life, but the purpose is that my name will be known all around, my name will be known in the whole city. So that is the motivation for building such temples. So Prabhupada is not in favor of that. As a matter of fact, even Krishna himself, through Narad Muni, when he's saying that they should never attempt to increase material opulences, even Krishna doesn't endorse something which is being done in this fashion. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada himself built so many temples. He instructed so many disciples of his to go to such and such city and open a temple. So when we are talking here that a sannyasi should not construct temples and monasteries, Then why did Prabhupada himself instructed his disciples to open temples as such? So the reason is very clear, which Prabhupada explains himself in the purport, that temples and monasteries should be constructed for the preaching of spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, not to provide free hotels for persons who are useful for neither material nor spiritual purposes. So if a temple is there, the purpose of the temple is that people will come there, they will be hearing about Krishna, they will get to see Krishna, they will get to communicate with Krishna, and that with that they will be benefited. This is for the casual visitors. But then there will be people such as you who are here, who are staying in the temple, and you get to engage yourself in different kind of services in serving the deities. So, which is very, very important for making advancement in Krishna consciousness. The other important thing which is relevant for people who are staying in the temple is association. So, when I think about why one should, what is the best benefit one gets by staying in the temple? And I come to the conclusion that it is association. All other activities which we are instructed to engage in, we can do that even without staying in the temple. So we can talk about services, so we can come from home and do the services here in the temple. We are supposed to do some deity worship, so people are coming from home, pujaris are coming from home at the prescribed time. They are engaging in their duties. Cooking, you can cook from, you can come at a particular time and cook here in the kitchen. You know, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, you can come in the morning for the class. If you cannot come, you can hear the recorded lecture later on, and so on. So most of the activities which are prescribed, we can still do without staying in the temple. But association is very, very important. And association is something which you cannot get if you are not staying here in the temple. If we are staying outside, then generally we will be associating with people who are not necessarily Krishna conscious or spiritually inclined. So, if we are not associating with other devotees, we have to be extremely careful, because in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami is, in different verses, he says, Sangatyaga. I think that is what he guards, he wants us to guard against, to associate with people who are not in Krishna consciousness. So, who are not Krishna conscious. So, if we are in outside world, then mostly we are associating or coming in contact with such people who can leave unwanted influence on us. And if we are not already at a particular level where we can benefit from, where we have strong convictions, and then we can easily be influenced by such people. So temples are constructed. Srila Prabhupada encouraged that temples should be constructed. We should have deities there, and we should serve the deities very nicely. Then he encouraged people to come and stay in the temple so that they can engage themselves in the service, they can associate with each other, and they can hear about Krishna, they can read about Krishna, and they can make spiritual advancement. And not necessary as a, like Prabhupada says, not necessarily as a free hotel. So, not to provide free hotels for persons. So I was hearing a class, and this was very interesting. And the speaker says that, you know, a number of times people will come and stay in the temple because you get free prasadam, you don't even have to cook, and you can even, say what I want to eat and what I don't want to eat. So he says, where can one get such a facility? So if, the motivation to stay in the temple is only to get ready-made prasadam and whatever you want, then certainly Prabhupada says that place is not a temple, it is like a hotel. And he doesn't encourage us to have such facilities. A number of times when we hear Srila Prabhupada's disciples, I remember hearing from Chandramouli Maharaj, he would explain how the life was in his early days in the temple or in the ashram. And it is something, you know, if we hear about that today, we will think twice whether I should stay in the temple or not. But at least I feel that compared to what it was in the earlier days, it is very, very comfortable now. So he would say that they will get up early in the morning. There is no hot water, even in winter. So they will be taking a cold shower. They will be, you know, doing different services in the morning. After that, you know, most of them will go out for book distribution. Some who have services in the temple will stay back, but rest of them, they will be going out for Harinam and book distribution. Then when they come back in the afternoon, they will be tired. So they will have prasadam, and then they have to again participate in the evening program. And they said as soon as they would hit pillow, they will be sleeping because they are so tired with the activities throughout the day. So today, the situation is different. The temple are providing, I would say, not really a luxurious living, but certainly more comfortable living than what it was earlier. And if we have decided to stay here in the temple, then we should have a very clear motive why we are here, and we should take the benefit of being here. If we are here simply, staying in the temple and doing some services and reading, it is nice. But by being here, one can really get a lot of benefit, and by being in association of others. Without associating with other devotees, one cannot make progress in devotional life. This is the word which Prabhupada has used. So association is very, very important, and we have to associate with the right kind of people. And luckily for us, those right kind of people are available in the temple environment. So that is the message available for us in this particular text. Now, when I was reading this purport, the other thing which impressed me in this explanation is this also would give us an opportunity to think about how to select a spiritual master. Number of times this question comes up, especially from people who are new or who have been relatively new, may not be absolutely new, and they ask this question that how do I search for a spiritual master? How do I know who is the right person for us? So when we are hearing about the qualities and characteristics of a true sannyasi from Narad Muni, then we should look for those qualities in our future spiritual master. So that is a very, very important point which we can take home from these verses. And Prabhupada, I was also, you know, there is a course now in ISKCON, which is called the Disciple Course, because a number of times people were confused as to how to choose or how to select a spiritual master. So there's a course now in ISKCON, which is called Disciple Course. And for initiation, now it is mandatory to do that course. And there they discussed these things in detail about selecting a guru. So I was reading those papers yesterday, and I can share at least one or two explanations which are given here. So there is one is from the teachings of Lord Kapila. So he talks about the qualifications of a bona fide guru, and it says a bona fide guru does not impart some self-styled concocted knowledge. His knowledge is standard and received from the parampara system. He is also firmly fixed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are his two qualifications. He must have heard the Vedic knowledge through the disciplic succession, and he must be established in service to the Supreme Lord. He does not have to be a very learned scholar. So even Lord Kapila says that he doesn't have to be a very learned scholar. And we are talking here about not read too many books. So that reflects the same thinking. But he must have heard from proper authority. So whatever knowledge he has gained in the disciplic hearing through the disciplic succession, and he is engaged in service of Krishna. Then the other quotation is from Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya is, actually Prabhupada says in his explanation or in his classes, that every one of you can become the spiritual master. And then he is quoting from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which says, Amara Jnana Guru Hana Tara E Desha Yare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Updesha. So Lord Chaitanya says that every one of you become the spiritual master. Every one of you. Why one or two? Every one of you. And then he says further, this is the important part. Spiritual master is very, somebody says spiritual master is very difficult job. And then Prabhupada says, no, no. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, just try to carry out my order. That's all. Then you become the spiritual master. So if we spread the message which has been heard through the disciplic succession, and we pass it on to others, we act as the representative of Krishna. We act as the representative of our spiritual master. So I think I would like to stop here and invite discussion, additions, comments. Yes, Prabhu.
I was just sort of appreciating very much Prabhupada. Actually, you know, even his heaviness in characterizing the lazy fellow, you know, like that, a club for crazy people. The temple should not be a place like that, but it should be for serious students. And it brings to thought, you know, the importance that we have to discriminate who, you know, is a suitable person to be here in the temple. And specifically that point of being a lazy fellow and have more or less, you know, you pointed out some of the things, just looking for a very easy solution of your living situations like that. So is sometimes, you know, there is a fine line in discriminating, and especially if you're in some position of leadership, of people who comes, you know, to look for the shelter of Kishore Kishori for whatever, you know, purpose. And you know, so that's always a very, there's a fine line that we have to go through. Maybe you can comment on that. And then I also wanted to bring, using my experience through the years, that during Prabhupada's time, you know, it was even during Prabhupada's time, and it carried on through the 80s too, that it was the mood was very much of preaching and not much of cultivating, but preaching, preaching, preaching. So we, in general, you contact a lot of people, and in the 80s and 90s, I won't say that you were making, you know, a huge amount of devotees that you used, you know, during Prabhupada's time, because it seems that the time and the type of mentality of people change. During Prabhupada's times, it was the hippie movement, you know, people were very easily just giving up, you know, material comforts and just living, you know, basically, you know, in the streets. It was part of the mentality. So, so living in a very simple condition, it was just part of the times. During the 80s, the hippies became, you know, the underground, you know, we were making a lot of, the devotees that were come to the temple were mostly from, at least in New York, from the hardcore scene that were, you know, they were living, many of them, they were a whole movement of squatters, they were called. Mm-hmm. They will stay in abandoned buildings and things like that. So there was a whole group that were coming easily to the temple like that from that scene. Of course, there was others, you know, but that was like that. But times are changing, and we're moving from keeping a balance on preaching, but also on cultivating, you know, those who we make devotees, caring for them. So that is what we're looking at these times. I mean, I saw that change in, or at least I understood from my limited perspective, 90s and the 2000s, things are moving towards congregation and helping those who we make devotees to actually cultivating them and caring for them. Something that, you know, in the past, we were so focused on preaching that, you know, not pay too much attention of the needs, you know, like that. So those two things.
So I feel even in the earlier days, people stayed with Srila Prabhupada because of the love and affection they got from him. Prabhupada was and is a very, very compassionate personality. Your first question about you know, people who want to come and stay in the temple is always very tricky to judge what their motivation is, which is true. But this way, the role of the people who are staying here already becomes very, very important. Because a new person who comes here, for whatever reasons, will get impressions of the people who are already staying here. So if I come here for the very first day and I find that Manoj Prabhu, Gokulananda Prabhu, etc., Igor Prabhu, Mish, they're all, you know, so disciplined. They, you know, live a very, very regulated life as prescribed by Srila Prabhupada and so on. Then I will see that this, if I want to stay here in this particular place, then I have to be like them. I have to learn from them and I have to be like them. If not, then probably I will not be able to stay here for very long. And when a new person comes, also it is important that sometimes people say that they are just trying it out. They just want to see how the life is in the ashram, and then if it impresses them, they will continue, and if not, they will go back. So like I said earlier, so the people, the devotees who are already here in the ashram, they have a very, very important role in this regard. They have to be role model, for example, for such new people who are coming here. And we have to help everybody, whether they want to come and stay here in the temple or they are visiting us casually. We have to help them out, because what message our society ISKCON has to give out to them is very, very, what message we convey to them is important. So any devotee is a very, very caring person. And we see all that in our previous acharyas. They were so compassionate and caring. Our Srila Prabhupada, our founder acharya, was so caring. Our spiritual masters, they are so caring. So if we are caring and we try to communicate with new visitors or residents in the temple, ashram, in a caring and loving way, at least they will be able to appreciate what we are doing. And then, of course, they can make the decision themselves whether they would like to continue to be here or not. The choice is, of course, of the person, but we from our side have to, in a nice way, have to make them understand what it would be if they have to stay here. So that is my opinion when it comes to, addressing this issue. It's a very, very tricky issue and not very easy to, there is no cookie cut formula that, okay, we can do it like this. Every individual is different and we have to treat them respectfully and provide them the opportunity to grow in Krishna consciousness. And it is for them to choose that, yes, this is the right place for them. And you're talking about the focus on preaching in the 80s, correct? You were mentioning about that. So I feel it was very, very important at that time because there were very few people who knew about Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada gave this task to all his soldiers to go out and let people know about Krishna, give out the message of Lord Chaitanya, give out Harinam, give out the Mahamantra to them that they can chant. And it is so easy to be happy. I was listening to Srila Prabhupada the other day, and he says that, and as a matter of fact, it is still a problem in this country, for example, drug abuse. And Prabhupada said that when he came here, it was a problem even at that time. And the government of United States was spending and is still spending millions of dollars to control the drug abuse among the youngsters. But they have not been able to make much progress there. Prabhupada says, how come people who came in contact with Krishna conscious devotees, they were able to immediately distance themselves from all these things? And he says, because ISKCON provided them a better alternative. So what happens is that the government of United States is spending a lot of money, and they are telling youngsters and people not to engage in drugs, not to do drugs. But what is the alternative they are providing them? So as a result, even though a lot of money is being spent, people go back to drugs. So Prabhupada provided them an alternative which is so sublime and so, you can say makes you happy. So, and that is why people gave up drugs and they stayed here with Srila Prabhupada. So until and unless there is an alternative provided to people, this problem is not going to be controlled. And that is what we can see our role also in the society, that we offer them something, we offer them such a nice program where they will not even think of doing drugs. They will be engaging themselves in the loving service of the deities and chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
I was just thinking on also, thank you so much, it's nice, the comments. On the culture that we have to cultivate in the temple, in all levels, I mean, you mentioned that, and that is a combination of, say, you mentioned how Chandramouli Maharaj was, you know, very happy and satisfied and enthusiastic, you know, during those times in and living in such a, you know, sort of a difficult conditions that even today, you know, we'll be like, ooh, you know, would I like to, you know, would I be able to do that? Or, you know, you will have people protesting if they don't have certain facilities, you know, like that. So, the situation of being a devotee, you know, in the temple, have this culture that we have to cultivate of two things. I would say it is the desire and the action of serving the devotees. So we want to make sure that all the devotees have been taken care and served very nicely. Mm-hmm. And all the needs in a simple way, you know, provide. And that's each devotee who should have that sort of mood of service. And at the same time, we also have to have a mood of gratitude for the facilities that the deities are providing for us, and, you know, be always satisfied with their kindness, and you know, whatever they provide, then you're satisfied. So those two things, you know, the mood of service and also the gratitude towards the deities. And I have I remember a situation of my Guru Maharaj saying something very deep in terms of, you know, a situation in which there was a need, or there was a need for making a better facility for the devotees, and then there was an opportunity to get, you know, something that will help that, to create a better facility, and that didn't happen. And my Guru Maharaj says because there was the right attitude was not there. Mm-hmm. So Krishna didn't provide. So when the culture is there, Krishna will provide all facilities. Yeah. When the culture is compromised by whatever condition we have, then Krishna will create situations that will force, mm-hmm. you know, sort of, that will help at least,
yeah.
you know, internalize that mood of service and the mood of gratitude, you know, like that.
That's true. I feel living in the temple is certainly austere. It is not luxury. And so what we could do is that we can compensate for all the so-called luxurious expectations by giving out love and affection to the new people. Because if they are respected, if they are treated nicely, then the austerity which they have to undergo, they will forget that. The problem comes sometimes that people have too many expectations and they are not fulfilled, and obviously then they are not happy. So Again, I'm just repeating myself, and which goes in line with that the senior residents have to kind of, by their own examples, help the new devotees to grow in Krishna consciousness. They have to provide them the new, they have to provide the new residents an environment and an example in which a new resident can grow. Thank you. Any other discussion points or questions? Yes. What is your name, Prabhu?
I'm Manish. I'm from Maharashtra.
Okay. You are visiting here?
Yes, I'm visiting. I'm a congregate member. Actually,
I'm doing some service in Pune, Nigdi.
Mm-hmm.
Just visiting and then take.
Okay. Welcome to Chicago.
Huh? Okay.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. My question is when there are some congregate devotees are there who are not a full time devotees, but still they follow the something principles at home, and obviously they said you need an association. Okay, association is very important for them. But those who are not a full time devotee, actually they need the, out of the temple association, it becomes the devotee association with the non devotees. Okay. So in this situation with the non devotees, what will be the, like somewhere they are in the working environment? Okay. So how should they protect themselves from the Maya in when they will have from those situations?
So there are two words which I have heard. One is isolation, huh. And the other one is insulation. So one could be that we isolate ourselves, which is not good, because when we are in the world, we need to associate with people, we need to talk to them, we may be working somewhere, we may be studying somewhere. Whatever we are doing, we cannot isolate ourselves. So that is not really recommended. But we can insulate ourselves. And we can insulate ourselves by the influence, the unwanted influence which such people can create on us. So how can we insulate ourselves is by chanting sincerely, by following the regulative principles sincerely, and reading Srila Prabhupada books. That will give us enough strength and energy to keep ourselves away from the influence which this unwanted association can give on us. As a matter of fact, when we strongly follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master, even these other people, the so-called non-devotees, they will be influenced by you. Okay. They will be influenced and they will be inquisitive exactly about what you are doing, why you are doing, and so on. And that is an opportunity for us to explain to them about Krishna. So we can use opportunity to introduce Krishna consciousness to them.
Okay, but till what should be the limit that we should explain them to the non-devotees? Till at what level we should take Krishna consciousness explanation to them? Because sometimes we find that when we try to explain them, our limit is not, capacity is not in a position to explain them.
It depends on number of factors, but one very important factor is relationship.
Okay.
So it depends on what kind of a relationship you have with that person. So if based on that, you can talk. So if you don't know a person at all, you can talk only that much with, you can talk only very small, in a small way. If you know a person well, he is your friend, he comes to you often, you meet together, but he's not practicing Krishna consciousness, but yet he wants to know from you, then you have an opportunity to talk to him a little bit in more detail. But with a person where there is no relationship, you will be very, very brief. You can tell them, you can give them some brief introduction, and you can give Srila Prabhupada's books, which will introduce that person to Krishna consciousness, you can provide that person a contact information, your own or of your temple or of some other authorities, who can talk to them a little bit more in detail. If they have more questions, then they can come to such persons and get benefited by that.
Thank you,
for your participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.